Good evening, everybody. What's going on? Monday? No, it's not. It's Thursday. It's Thursday, May 28th. We're here at the Red Sound Studios out in Warrenton, PA, breaking it down for you, as always.
With radio.
As always, I'm your host, Justin Emery.
I'm your host, Michael Irano, here.
I hope he's ready, because I forgot to put deodorant on today before we came.
Uh-oh.
And we are breaking it down today. We got the Eagles going on. We got
thinking it up worse than the Phillies.
Well, I'll be talking about them, too. We actually have no sports tonight. Can you believe that? No NHL, no basketball. The Phillies are off.
So it's a depressing day, a couple weeks. It's going to be a long road till training camp.
You can turn that off. Thanks. Yeah, it's going to be...
But this is a big day today, I think.
Yeah.
This was the open practice. For everybody, ESPN was there.
I heard
OTAs with Chip Kelly.
Well, listen to this little stat. They have 90 players on the roster. There was 105 media members there.
Oh yeah, everybody wants to know what Chip Kelly's thinking, what he's got going in Philadelphia. The whole NFL, whether they think positively or negatively of Chip Kelly, you know what they're really thinking? What the hell is coming next?
Well, I
and what's this team gonna look like?
I saw a couple guys, a couple of the usual beat reporters for the Eagles were talking about that there's about 40 to 50 people at the practice with media credentials they've never seen before.
Oh yeah, and this is just not people from Philadelphia, you know. And we have a pretty strong media presence. We are a city who gets every bit of information.
It's the fifth largest market,
and probably the you know, I don't know how mean Yankees fans are towards their organization, but Phillies fans are known for not caring at all what the GMs, coaches, owners think, and we'll let them hear it. We'll boo at home games. We'll do a lot of things.
And that is a great segue into what we break down as our first topic with the Ruben Amaro comments. You hear about those?
I don't want to hear about Ruben Amaro, but let's go.
You have you not heard the comments yet?
No, I try to stay away from Philly, but you know what I mean? It just gives me a little rage.
Let me pull him up then.
Let's go.
He pretty much insulted the fan base by saying that they don't understand baseball. Let me find the exact.
Oh, we don't understand baseball.
Yeah, this is coming from Ruben Amaro.
I'm not saying that, like, I would have been a five times better GM than Ruben Amaro, but, like, what the people are saying is there are 1,000 other guys more qualified than him. May not be one of us, but there's definitely better GMs and better guys to bring up than Ruben Amaro, and there's nothing that he can say to show anything he's done well for the Phillies.
No, it's like he was handed the keys to like a brand new car, and he screwed the whole thing up in like 5 years.
He rode the clutch. He burned out the brakes. He didn't change the tires.
No oil changes.
No oil change. He put nice shiny rims on it. You know what I mean? Didn't change the air filter.
Here it is.
The heart and soul is done.
Here it is. This is a sit-down he had with Comcast Sportsnet. So, you know, not just a nobody. Talking about the fans who are complaining, all right? They don't understand the game. They don't understand the process. There is a process. And then they bitch and complain because they think that we don't have a plan. Oh, there's a plan in place, and we're sticking with the plan. Can't do what's best for the fan. We have to do what's best for the organization so the fan can reap the benefit of it later on. That's the truth.
But, like, that's – we're not mad that now you suck. And it's going to take a while to get better. We know that. We've come to terms. We're smart enough as a market to understand it. We're lamenting because you took
too long.
The best team in almost the history of Major League Baseball, no team has been constructed like that team with so much homegrown talent. They had so much money to dole out. And they did nothing well. They added no talent.
This is a perfect time to bring up our book that we're going to write. For everybody out there listening, we are co-authoring a book. It's called the dynasty that ever was, and that is trademarked, bitches, so you can't go try to take that. We already have it. And we are going to write the book about how bad the Phillies are.
Basically, how Ruben Amaro is the worst GM
in the history of sports.
Not even baseball, you know. Just the worst in the history of sports. And there might have been guys less talented, maybe. But, I mean, you could have just sat back and did nothing, you know what I mean? You figure you would want a World Series. Another World Series. You know, you got the one, but that team was better every year, really, than it was the year before, supposedly.
They won back-to-back pennants. And, like, you know how hard that is to just win a pennant, let alone a World Series?
I mean, you run into the Yankees the next year, and Cole Hamels, really, his head wasn't in it, so, you know, you lose that one, but... After that, I mean,
I want to go back real quick to that 2009 season where they played the Yankees in the World Series. I remember when the Yankees signed Mark Teixeira. I remember I called you on the phone and I told you that. And your exact words were, the Yankees are going to win the World Series now.
I knew it. I just
And
I,
they did. Unfortunately,
he was
they
in
lost.
His prime.
Oh, yeah.
That year, you know, he's never really
switch
played
a power hitter.
They've never played, and especially in the AL, so he could get, you know, 50 games on the DH spot. He can go back and forth whether he wants to play first base or DH, and he can get rest that way. So it was a really perfect move for them at the time, and it really paid big dividends because we really couldn't hit. And the next, you know what I mean, the next year with the Giants, and even the next year with the Cardinals, I mean, we let go big hitter after big hitter, and you saw the guys you replaced them with not perform, and we didn't add anybody for the future. There was no plan for other than that year. And that short-sightedness, hoping that he would win another World Series and cement his legacy, instead of looking for the team future, he wants to talk about the plan in the future. His plan to keep as a GM is to win over the next year, 3 years, 5 years. And he did nothing for this team to help us.
No.
Over the last 3 to 5 years.
No, and I mean, fortunately, none of the prospects that he traded away, with the exception of John Singleton, really seem like they're panning out. Now, Singleton's not in the pros right now, but he is completely tearing apart the minor league. So he's really close to coming up. But other than that, like, none of his prospects
right, but
really...
Our biggest blue chip player in Dominic Brown
is worth
it. We watched
him
die in value year after year. When, I mean, you could have traded Dominic Brown for anybody in the whole league. And then trade away three and five players. So maybe not one of these guys is going to be a great player, but you lost depth. The last few years, the Phillies' bench has been deplorable. Their bullpen has been horrendous.
Year after year, every single... minor league
been depleted.
Well, the minor leagues are done. The farm system has been harvested.
Right.
Like,
and there's just been nothing to show for it. So, I mean, maybe no, there's not another. But you have three or five players. They could have been in other deals at other times.
Let me expand on his comments because he's since tried to clear his name on every possible media outlet.
Well, he's already a dead man, but like you have to let the team turn over a little bit. And he doesn't really, I don't think he has much say about anything as far as anymore anyway.
No, he doesn't. But
he's just the guy who gets shit on. So when they fire him, then they get another 3 years to really do what they want.
Yeah, well, he also then went on to say that the Phillies have been consistently in terrible draft position, and that's why they haven't had good prospects. But in baseball, that's the most unknown part of all. I mean, how many number one overall picks really pan out?
I was reading an article a little while back that said when they were trying to sign all those big player contracts, they decided to not go for big draft picks so they wouldn't have to pay them. They couldn't afford to pay Ryan Howard, Cliff Lee, Holiday, and all these guys, and then draft a guy and give him $10 million to sit for 5 years.
If
you want to look for a little evidence about that, the two leading guys after Ruben Amaro came here, as far as talent evaluation, decided to leave and quit on their own accord because they didn't want to be a part of this organization anymore. And you've seen after that to spiral and complete abomination and obliteration of our farm system after that. So, I mean, you really see a planet that has truly backfired and an organization that is completely backpedaled and has no clue what to say or do and no one to blame for it other than thinking that there it's going to get worse before it gets better. And even though you show some life, yeah, you win, what? Even though they might have lost one or two, three games, what did they win, 7-10? Something like that?
Yeah, they did. Now they've,
but does
they
that
were,
matter?
They've been swept.
Because next year, who do they have?
Nobody. But they've been swept by the Mets the last three games, and the last game they played yesterday, they were shut out 7-0.
Right. So when these, you know, these pitchers that you got who are old who stink come back to themselves next year, and when Ryan Howard goes away next year, and when Chase Utley's done, and you know what I mean? Who are the new
breaking
guys
news.
Coming in?
Breaking news. Hold up. I have to break this. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I have to
Let's
break
go.
This. Kevin Love and Cleveland are beginning contract talks about a max deal.
I don't know why they would want to give him a max deal.
Said he
after watching this
said
team.
He's comfortable with his role in Cavaliers organization and the city.
Because he's going to get a ring, and he knows he's got a chance to get a ring right now anyway.
And he's got a chance to get rings in the future.
And they can pay if they're going to give him a max deal for 6 years.
Oh, yeah, they can. They can give him more than anybody else.
So if they're going to do that to him.
They're
going to
give him the 1 year, and then they're going to hit him with that monster extension from that contract.
Oh, they're going to hit him with like a 1 year contract, you think?
They'll probably hit him with a 1 year.
Because next year the CBA goes up, so they'll say, you know, wait a year.
Because LeBron only has 1 year left
on
his contract.
Then if I'm Kevin Love, then I can look around the NBA and say, this year I can go sign with whoever I want to sign with. And during the big CBA.
But not every team might be willing to grant you a 1 year deal.
But that's what you say. You can almost put it in writing that they're going to do it. You know what I mean? You can work that out with your agent. But I wonder how Kevin Love would even fit with the team next year. I mean, I like the Cavs this year but they look almost better since they haven't played with them.
You want to hear what's going on in Allen Iverson news today?
Did he say he was better than LeBron James?
No, he did not.
Okay, well, all right, let's hear it then.
He said that if he did not get arrested at 17, you know that whole story, right?
Yeah.
He would have gone to Notre Dame to play running back and went on to play football at running back for the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, wow. Do you think? I think he could have. No, he would have got blown up. I'm sorry.
No.
I just think he was too small.
The thing is he wouldn't have gone to practice.
You got to practice in football.
In football, you have to practice. He wouldn't. Somebody's calling you on the phone.
He would have to practice.
So
that would definitely. Practice.
I'll practice.
Practice. You're talking about practice. Not talking about the game. I'm talking about practice. So, yeah, I could not see Allen Iverson in football.
No.
Basketball, you can go and slack and be the best player on the court every night by far.
Oh.
I mean, he was probably –
hold on.
He's probably the most talented
other
player.
Other breaking news in the NBA.
Yeah.
Dwayne Wade. Free agent, possibly. Heat are exploring options for a trade, and if not, would be considering cutting him.
Why would they say they're going to cut him if they're trying to trade him? Oh, so he doesn't go to open market. Open market. But I think right now we should dive back because there was a big press conference today.
It was. We'll save that for the second part of the show.
All right.
We'll save that. We'll break
we'll
into
the
Eagles. Break into the Eagles in like half an hour.
I'm itching a little green.
Well, yeah, we'll save that. We'll save because we have the whole press conference. So we'll save that. We got everything lined up. Don't worry. We'll get to it. We still have, you know, over an hour left in the show.
We'll do NBA.
Well, let's knock out all of our non-sports segments, and then we'll dive into the NBA, and then we'll switch over to football. All right? So here's what we'll do. We will do the headlines to get your reaction because I got some good ones today.
I'm anxious for these.
I'm going to tell you what pissed me off yesterday.
Uh-oh. That's never good.
And then we'll break down the conference finals, then the NBA finals, and we'll switch over and play the press conference and go from there.
Sounds like a good show. Wizway Radio, always kicking it to be real.
So, you know what? You know what the skeleton Lucy is, right? The fossil remains.
Yes.
What are they? Just I gotta know now.
Skeleton Lucy.
Yes.
Explain them to me.
Well, it's probably like maybe 10% of the skeleton.
Right.
But
something they don't know what it is.
No. It's human remains from like about 3 million years ago, give or take. Human remains. Now, but they discovered that like probably about 5 years ago or so.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that. That's why I wasn't sure. I remember it was part of something.
Yeah. Well, yesterday in Ethiopia, they found fossils that may be older than that.
Of humans?
Of humans. It's a jawbone with teeth still intact.
Like a human jawbone, like a sophisticated early day?
Early, like caveman, like, you know.
More caveman.
Like ogre,
humanoid.
Troll. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's pretty crazy.
Discovered it yesterday.
So maybe there was people with the dinosaurs.
You never know.
You never know.
They said that they estimate Lucy at being about three to 3.2 million years old. They estimate this one at 3.3 to 3.5.
See, I wish I could live with just in the woods and hunt. Like that sounds so simple now. Like you just you just wake up and you're just like, okay, I just got to eat today. Like that's all you have to do.
Yeah. So
I'm gonna roll around and eat, and then hope I don't get killed. Like that's the only thing. Like that's what comes with that.
Yeah. Now. Our next headline is kind of tragic, but mind-blowing nonetheless, okay? There's been these heat waves in India, all right, like severe heat waves, all right? The average temperature during the day is 107 to 116.
100. I was sweating today.
It was like 82.
It had to be a little hotter than that. It was really humid. But I don't even want to talk about that. Let's talk about this because that is not even comparable.
At nighttime, it's 95 to 98 overnight.
At night, 95 degrees at night. That has to be the most unbearable thing.
Well,
I mean, I would
Listen, nearly 1,400 people have died from
heat. You would have to, of course. You don't have, it's not like, you know, this isn't like, nobody has central air.
Here's the thing. All right, here's the real wild part of the story. It is so hot there, the streets are melting.
Like the asphalt.
Yes.
Of course.
Are melting. Like the lines in the middle of the road are like all blurred. I've seen the pictures.
Like are cars getting stuck?
Yeah. I mean, they're moving. Yeah. So
like slowly.
Yeah.
They're putting asphalt on their tires and then dry and make their cars slide.
Yes.
So even, yeah, so that's
it's
another
way. It's
getting
out of control over there.
There's nothing you can do about that.
No.
There's no, I mean, you can move. That's it.
Yeah, that's about it.
There's no, like, if they had America's resources, like, we'd still be boned in that kind of heat. Right?
Absolutely. Everybody, you can't really do much about the weather.
Oh, my God. I would just get a swimming pool and, like, live in there.
That would work for about 5 minutes to heat it up.
Right? 115 degree pool.
Yeah. Now, this one, I made this list early this morning. I made it around like 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. Now, this story made it in late after my deadline that I put on myself just because of how outrageously stupid it is. The United States, like, official, like, government here, the United States government, screwed up and sent live anthrax to private labs in 6 different states. With the wrong addresses they posted. Like, the U.S. government did this.
Like, the U.S. government... Like, wait, were they not... Okay, so the story is they were not supposed to send anthrax?
No, they were supposed to send it to another government facility and sent it instead to, like, you know, a private facility.
Oh, my God. They could have started a world war. They might have. They might have started a world war. 5 or 3. We don't know how many there's been, you know what I mean? We can't just call it World War III when, like, Napoleon shit wrecked stuff. Like, that's a little, But so they might have started a new world war.
It was outrageous.
That is outrageous. It shows you, listen, if you get a government job, you are so golden. Like, all you literally have to do is show up and sit down. And, like, they literally can't fire you.
Oh, man. Now, here, we're going to switch over to one that happened around here. Did you hear about that Sweet 16 party up in Levittown?
No, I try not to mind myself with anyone under the age of 18.
Well, I try not to mind myself with people from Levittown, but that's beside the point.
Double win.
Yeah. So, this airplane released, like, the bathroom valve, and it literally shitted all over this girl's Sweet 16 party.
All over the party as a whole?
Yes, like the yard. Like, it was in her, like, backyard. She had, like, tents set up and stuff.
Like, they don't, like, I'm shocked that they don't have a better system to know where their shit's going to hit.
It literally shitted all this girl's party.
That is literally, I wish that was on that show, Sweet 16. I would hope that someone videotaped it.
Oh, it's on every major news outlet.
Oh, my God. That is the greatest thing I've ever heard. She was probably, if anyone deserves it, if there's any doubt in anyone's mind now that karma is alive, you know, I will just refer you back to this story.
Yeah, it's definitely something else. Now, in 2014, this new wasp was discovered in, like, Cambodia or something.
Oh, my God, it definitely kills you.
No, it only goes after bugs, other bugs, which is crazy.
So, like, it'll just fly around you?
I mean, like, it'll probably sting you, but, like, it doesn't have the same, like, it
effect
just,
as other wasps.
Yeah, as, like, what it does to bugs. It literally sucks the soul out of them.
What?
They can move, but cannot control their motion. So the wasp stings them and then controls them, like, telepathically back away. I watched the video. The wasp stings the bug, flies away, and the bug just, like, follows behind it.
I'm literally speaking. That is evolution. I'll tell you right now, that is the scariest shit I've ever heard in my life. And I hope no crazy scientist gets his hands on these bugs. Like, they should not have told people about that. Because now every friggin' dumbass with a dickhead degree in biology is going to be flying to Cambodia to try to find this motherfucker and see how and why he does it to try to rule the world.
So, isn't it a problem?
Listen, if anybody takes this as their movie idea, this is my movie idea. Okay? Killer Wasp. To take over the world with mind control. That is awesome. That is at least good enough for B-level actors.
Listen, it's, you ever read the Harry Potter books?
Yeah.
You've seen the movies? You know the things called Dementors?
Yeah.
These are literally called a Dementor Wasp.
It's basically what
it is. That's what the official scientific name of them is, a Dementor Wasp.
That's ridiculous. Like, that is, I mean, you think of it at a small level, but you figure, like, a wasp, like, that would be like a person doing it to, like, something the size of a dog, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty crazy, you know. And you figure what people forget is that we basically came from insects, almost. I mean, evolution is whatever. I'm not going to get that on the show.
We're going to go to the next topic on that. You have an Amazon account?
Yes.
You have an Amazon Prime account?
No.
Neither do I.
I don't pay for that, Bull.
Well, now
Netflix.
Amazon Prime, if you order before noon, they will deliver to you by 9 p.m. that day.
I'm going to get Amazon Prime. That is ridiculous. If I can wake up
it's
in the
$99
morning,
for the year.
Like, it would just, I guess it matters how much you, but don't you, like, get, like, TV and stuff with it? Like,
I have no idea.
Like,
I just know about
the
delivery.
I think they have, like, a Netflix, like, programming that comes with it as well.
I don't
other
know.
Other perks and stuff, but. That's crazy. You order before 12, we'll get it to you by 9 p.m.
Yep.
That's unreal. Yep. One day shipping.
Same day shipping.
Same day shipping. That doesn't happen. That's a bravo. They get a clap.
They get a clap.
They get a shout out to Stephen Colbert. They get the tip of the hat.
All right, then. You have an iPhone. I have an iPhone.
Sitting on the table.
At the Worldwide Developers Conference, you know, it's coming up on June 10th. Now, I've realized something, and we've discussed this several times off air. You need to know computer people in the world today. Surround yourself with computer people.
They will rule the world.
Well, Apple's releasing their updates coming up on June 10th. And apparently the list of updates are out of this world. Apple's not saying too much, but they're saying it's the biggest release date since they introduced the switch from the iPhone 3 to the iPhone 4.
That's pretty big. What could they have up there?
I don't know. I need to know that.
Like, what else can you put? What else could this phone do? At this point, you can only make it work quicker and faster.
I have a 4S.
That's what I have.
And it just still cruises.
Like I don't see any reason to go higher. Like until like this hologram keyboard, and like it can shoot up on my wall in my room and use it as like a computer or a television. Like then I'm wowed. So I'd like to see that this is anything more than a publicity stunt. Oh, we're not going to tell you what's upgraded. It's going to be like 12 bug fixes.
Well, the thing is,
and
apparently Apple's notorious for not giving out hints though before. So the fact that they're not saying anything is nothing new.
Yeah, it's the only way they come back into the market.
And here, we're coming with our last one. I'm saying our biggest headline for last, probably. Maybe not the biggest headline, but definitely the one that has the biggest discussion. CNN released the list of the 20 richest Americans of all time.
Of all time?
Of all time. Like, updated with current people on the list. There's actually only two people alive cracked the list on the top
10. Oh, wow. All
right? Only two people alive. And this is of all time, the 20 richest Americans.
All right, wait, I want to pick the top two people alive. Bill Gates.
Yes.
Oprah Winfrey.
No.
I don't know the other one.
Warren Buffett.
Warren, he is loaded.
Yeah.
He's still loaded.
Oh, yeah. So you want to take a guess at who number one overall is? I don't have the whole list. I just have some of the key
things. I don't know, man. Al Pacino. What's his name? The gangster.
No. I know who you're talking about, but no.
And now, who's number one? I need to know.
John Rockefeller.
Rockefeller. He was loaded.
$253 billion if he was alive today.
$250. That's ridiculous.
And that is the most of all time out of anybody.
That is ridiculous.
But he's the richest human to ever live.
Oh, and he died of AIDS.
Did he?
Pretty sure.
I don't think he did.
Maybe not the first one.
Wait, no. All right, yo, he died like 100 years ago. How the hell did he die from AIDS like 100 years ago? That shit was discovered in like the 80s.
All right, this is pretty long. Maybe that's all right.
Well, anyway, the guy number two is...
Nas McMiguel.
Yeah?
This is
all right. The guy's number two, something Vanderbilt. I forget what his first name was. But,
I've heard of the Vanderbilts. They've been like every major. They've been like the ipso facto rich name for the last.
Well, as of the guy that amassed all the money, died in 1877.
Yeah.
And by 1973, none of his family members was worth even $1 million. They spent all the money.
From when?
1877 to 1973, they
so 100
spent
years.
$205 billion. In 100 years, they spent $205 billion.
They're some wasteful motherfuckers.
They spent about $2 billion a year.
That is ridiculous.
$205, so about $2.4 billion a year. Comes to.
Wow.
Yeah.
Three generations.
Well, I go four. They say a generation is 20 to 25 years.
Yeah, true, but like, yeah, wow.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
Bill Gates is the richest person both alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And on the list.
Right.
And alive in the whole world. Bill Gates is the richest person on the planet.
Right now again?
Right now again, yes.
Again?
Again, yes. He's number one. He's also the richest alive on this list. And he's only 11th.
And he's 11th all time?
Yep.
Damn.
At $74 billion.
Man, like, everybody should just try and write a letter to Bill Gates for a reason he should give you $1 million.
Well, the Walmart founder,
yeah,
is only 16th.
Well, I think the corporation probably worth more though.
Well, it has his no. That's his value if it was scaled out to now.
Okay. So what is that number?
I mean, I don't have his number down, but he's right above Warren Buffett. He's between Warren Buffett, who has 64, and Bill Gates. He's a couple spots ahead of him at 74. So I'm going to say he's probably got about 70. 68.
Yeah.
68 to 70. But you got to remember, half of the Walmart fortune goes to his brother, because it was his two brothers that started it.
Right.
So Walmart is really two halves.
So Walmart's worth like $120 billion.
Probably more like 150.
Yeah, that's crazy. Walmart's the biggest corporation right now around.
Yeah.
They're bigger than most countries.
Yeah, and Steven Gerrard, which Gerrard Street is named after,
yeah,
ranked fourth on the list. He pretty much bought up all of Philadelphia and then sold it like 200 years ago.
Oh, my God.
He pretty much bought like everything.
So he like made modern Philadelphia?
Well, I mean, I
as
guess
far as like buying it, renovating
yeah, he,
it, and then
he bought,
it.
He made $150 billion buying and selling property in Philadelphia like 150, 200 years ago.
That shows you real estate has always been
a boom business. The guy that ranked number three on the list, back right after the American Revolution, he went and bought all the seaports in Boston and New York.
That is the greatest idea ever.
His family right now, every single one of his living ancestors, what's it, got to be 240 years or so
right.
later, every single one of his ancestors is worth at least eight figures.
So at least 10 million?
Every one of his living relatives.
See, that's how you do it. That's how you do it.
That
probably,
family's going to be rich forever.
Yeah.
Wow, there's probably like 300 relatives.
There's
by
probably
now.
So many of them, too. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like they spent it all. They've just been continuing to make it. I mean, that's what you spent. I mean, if you gave any one person $1 million, they could make $10 million, you know what I mean, so much quicker than you could make $1 million with nothing.
Like, think about it like this. Like, Bill Gates has $74 billion. Like, you can't even wrap your head around that because, like, if somebody gave you, like, $1,000, you'd be like, oh, shit.
Someone gave you $100,000 in cash. Like,
yeah, you'd be like, what are you doing?
Like, if I would like, if you know what, I'm putting that on my bucket list, and this is something I'll never get. I want to see $1 billion in cash.
Oh. Oh.
That's what I want to see in one room. I don't have to count it because that would take the rest of whatever little bit of my life I would have left. But that would be something I'd love to see.
That's a lot of money. Like, let me do the math on that real quick.
All right, while you do the math, I want to move on a little bit. What do you have planned next? Or can I talk about this game last night?
No, I'm ready to switch into NBA.
Ooh, because I'll tell you right now, there's
that
somebody
number,
I want to call out.
That number is so big that the iPhone won't do it.
You got to turn it sideways. It's like going to be a number to like the
wait, you can.
You didn't know that it's a scientific calculator?
No.
Oh, man.
I usually use one of my computer.
But James Harden, the most steals.
That would be
any
$10 million $100 bills.
That's a number I can't fathom.
Let me put it like this, okay? Like, a suitcase, I believe.
You couldn't fit that many things in a 18-wheeler. I think it would be roughly slightly bigger than an 18-wheeler worth 100.
Well,
could you imagine if you tried to run with a billion? That'd be a good movie. Another good movie title. Everybody's going to steal from me. I know it, but make it from San Diego to Philadelphia with
yo, you wanna
$1 billion.
You want to guess how much that would weigh?
Yeah.
Can I guess?
I can't guess. That's the last problem. Like what? 1,000 pounds?
Now, 358,000 pounds.
You can, no, that's way bigger than 18-wheeler. I'm sorry. It's like it's like a fleet of 18-wheeler.
Dude, what does an 18-wheeler hold? 18 tons? Or is it? Yeah, I think it's 18 tons.
You have to buy every bank from New York to Florida just to have the amount of cash to be able to acquire the amount of cash to put that even together.
It would take 20 18-wheelers.
If you wanted to see $1 billion in cash, you would have to have at least $2 billion because it would cost $1 billion
to liquidate it.
To present $1 billion in cash. Warren Buffett could do some shit like that, but, like, you know, I'm not going to ever be able to.
Michael Jackson claims that he one time wrote a $500 million check that cleared.
What, to one of his ex-wives?
Oh. I don't know. I'm just
Tiger
telling
Woods
you.
Had to do it.
Tiger Woods, he lost half his money. He's still worth $600 million.
Ugh. To be good at golf.
You know who's not worth $600 million?
Ugh.
James Harden.
James Harden is not. James Harden didn't look to the worth about like 10-50 last night. And you know what? It's not all his fault. Golden State had a beautiful game plan, and they didn't do what I thought they would have to do, which is double James Harden. They knew that Smith wasn't going to be able to hit the threes again away in Golden State. They kept switching the defenders on James Harden. Everybody got a hand on covering him, so the guys were fresh-legged. And anytime James Harden tried to step back and hesitate at all, they knocked the ball away from him. He did not play himself the whole game, and he really cost his team the game when you figure he scored, what, 15 points maybe, and they lost by 15?
I fell asleep at halftime, so I don't know.
Yeah, I just couldn't turn it off. I'm sorry. I love watching Steph Curry and those guys play. And Harrison Barnes, 9-point stretch when the Warriors were up 4 or 6 points pretty late in the fourth quarter, really sealed the game. Because they would have been able to cut it down to a 4 or 2-point game, you know, when everybody else was starting to struggle and Golden State was looking rattled. They just have player after player who can be efficient. And the more you try to take away one player, they're going to have guys wide open who are solid shooters and veterans. You could hurt you from a lot of angles.
Yeah. Now, when I was doing a prep for the show today, came up with a bunch of headlines for these NBA finals. Not necessarily, you know, your conventional headline or take on it. So I'm going to run some of these past you. You get your take real quick. All right. So you got Bron versus Curry.
I got to give the edge to Curry because I think he can score more. And I don't think that LeBron's been able to cover Derrick Rose at times and Chris Paul. The elite point guards, they've been able to put LeBron on them, but not in this series.
Now, I agree. I think that between Shumpert and LeBron, Curry is going to see some real tough defense.
He's going to see some tough defense, but the thing is, he's just going to get his.
Yeah, he will. Now, another thing is that we have a week rest for these teams. Now, remember you complaining about, you know.
Again, I'm complaining. I'm complaining again.
You're complaining
I'm
again?
Mad. This
well,
is bull.
Well, listen.
They're really dragging this shit out.
Who does this help more? Klay Thompson with his concussion? Or Kyrie
I'm glad
Irving?
At least Klay Thompson. It helps them both.
Or Kyrie Irving with his.
Hey, I'm
with
sorry.
His,
this helps really, at the end of the day, this ends up helping the Warriors more. They've been winning without Kyrie Irving. They don't need 100% Kyrie Irving to win. I'm convinced now. Not saying that I don't think I still think Golden State's going to win the series, but I'm not so sure anymore. I think that they've really gelled together, and I think that Iman Shumpert defense could be the biggest factor in the series. I still think Curry will do him. And it'll end up, but I gotta go. You know, I mean, I gotta go that way.
Now, if LeBron is Batman, who's Robin? in this playoff series, or not this, but this whole postseason run, J.R. Smith, Dellavedova, or Kyrie Irving?
J.R. Smith. I mean, he's come alive in this series. This year he was a little
fresh. That's who my vote was. I took J.R. Smith as well.
He's come alive, and he's really come and matured. We made a comment earlier before we came to the show saying that, J.R. Smith finally put some work in. And then his brother made the comment, says, well, he doesn't have the New York nightlife. You know what I mean? It's a lot harder when you live in a 30-floor apartment building in a penthouse, not to go out to the club in your limo. It's 5 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, he's in Cleveland now. And this is the playoff run. He's got LeBron James. These guys have been friends for a long time. So, really, with Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving hurt, it's been these two guys. This is a new big three. And I'll tell you right now, if they get to find a way to put those five pieces together and run, this team is going to be nasty.
For years.
For a couple of years. This is a young team.
Shumpert's young. Irving's young. Kevin Love's young. LeBron still has years left in the tank. J.R. Smith is kind of on the end, but he's got enough to keep it going for a few more years.
Right. So this is really, I think this really helps both teams. I guess you're going to see the series you want to see, which is with Kyrie Irving on the floor and Klay Thompson healthy. And did they say that Klay Thompson had a concussion? Because he was out ready to play.
They said after the game.
He collapsed, actually, I heard.
One of the signs of a concussion is throwing up.
Right.
And they said after the game, he was just sitting in his locker puking.
Yeah, he got real, he got real dizzy and he puked. I mean, they said he might have fell a little bit, but who knows. But they said his mom's taking care of him now.
Yeah, so he's got
He's got, 8 days.
Yeah.
Almost. You know what I mean? So he's definitely got some time to heal.
Now, is this big or not that LeBron's going to his fifth straight final and it's the only person to ever do that with two separate teams?
What do you mean? Go to five straight finals?
With two separate teams.
So you were on two separate teams.
And you went to five straight finals.
You were the common denominator in five straight finals. Yeah, especially still in one conference, too, which I think is cool more. But I almost think it plays into the conferences a little bit. And right now, LeBron is 2-4, in that run. That's a really amazing stat, but I think...
he's 2-5.
Well, this is the fifth one. He could be three. Well, he's two. I'm just saying in this run.
Yeah.
He's 2-4 right now. He's at 50%. So this is really the flip-flop one. I think if he loses this, there's a big chance that he goes back again next year. We could really see a time where LeBron goes just 10 straight East.
No, that won't happen because he's going to have to deal with the Sixers.
Yeah. But until you see it, I'm just saying, looking at this team now again. For the next 3 or 4 years, at least, it looks like LeBron country.
Has LeBron passed Kobe?
No. He's just a different player. LeBron needs different things. Kobe, you put two good defenders and one three-point shooter with Kobe with a big man who could score, and now you can go win a ring. LeBron needs other playmakers, other scorers around him. He needs guys who can – he needs to be a great defensive team. You know what I mean? LeBron can't win by himself. And it's not nothing against him. Nobody can really win by themselves. No one really has won by themselves in the NBA. Even Jordan had Pippen. And Kobe's had Shaq and some other great big men. But it seems like LeBron needs a little more. LeBron needs guys who are shot makers, guys who could score. A LeBron's perfect night is 20, 10, and 10. That's really the kind of player he is. He's a Magic Johnson. So. I would always put Kobe ahead of him. And I still think a guy like Steph Curry can really put his name on that list, and this is the first battle. And I think this will be the first of many.
That brings us back to Steph Curry. Where does he rank among the best shooters of all time?
So early. He's breaking so many records, though. It's crazy, because you don't want to say, who knows, in 2 years from now, if he can't buy a bucket. Now, I don't necessarily foresee that. But I'm saying, it'll be easier to have this conversation where I can say firmly that I believe he's the best. But I need some years left. But if I really, I don't know.
Well,
I've never seen somebody do this.
Reggie Miller is on the record to say that he believes Steph Curry is better than he is.
Yeah, I mean, he's just as good as any great spot-up shooter. The thing is, he creates the shot for himself. So, really, you almost have to say, yeah, because you've never seen anything like this. You've never seen a player.
He's as automatic from the three-point line as he gets.
I mean, he's hitting three-pointers. He could take 20 in a game and hit 10. He's hitting three-pointers like guys hitting the lane. You know what I mean? His shooting percentage is higher than power forward.
As a whole,
he just drains it. And you're just as scared. You're more scared of him backing up and hitting three again and again because he gets it, especially in Golden State. Every time Thompson or Curry bangs down a three, that crowd's intensity hops up to
every time they hit a point. Three, they're more likely to come out and hit the next one.
Right, because they get the rebounds, and they still – the stat that means the most to me, and this is the stat I'll be watching most in the series coming up is, during the regular season, Golden State led all teams in fast break points. Playoffs, so far, Golden State has led all teams fast break points. If they beat the Cavs in the fast break game, that's really going to be the difference maker because the Cavs have pretty good defense.
The Cavs have great defense. I think they'll be able to stop that fast break.
But it's not from – but see, it's not the fast break. See, the problem that you can't stop the Golden State fast break is because even if LeBron's getting back, what's he going to get back and do? Guard the basket. What happens then? Three. Harrison Barnes will even stop and drain a three on the fast break. They have guys – they run – Curry runs straight to the three-point line. So they have the big men who can go and dunk it down low with Barnes and Iguodala and Green who run fast. And they have guys like Curry and Thompson who will just – they're lights out. God forbid you give him 3 feet between you and someone when they shoot the ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's really – that's really going to be the thing. I mean, can they have the best chance, I'll say, of stopping it, but can you really stop it completely? Because really what it becomes off of is the fact that they are the top defensive team in the league. And I'm sorry, they're a better defensive team. They play better defense than the Cavs.
They do.
I'll tell you right now, Bogut and Green are two all defense this year. And now you get guys like Harrison Barnes, a great defender. Andre Iguodala, great defender. Steph Curry, very improved defender. And Klay Thompson is an underrated defender. And you cycle in more and more big and long guys who can still hit shots. And they just kill teams on the fast break. I mean, think about this. I mean, Green can bring the ball up from the power forward spot. Can bring the ball up. He can play the three. He'll play defense on anybody from 1 through 5. And on the fast break, he's running down the floor with the guards.
Yeah. Now, let's go real quick to the Atlanta Hawks real quick.
Disappointing.
They were, you know, the top seed in the East.
Disappointing.
Coach of the year. You're on record as saying, you know, depth kills everything. They were really deep.
Yeah.
And they got swept.
Now.
With a 30-point loss at the end of that, at game four.
Game four, they gave up. That team wasn't there that night. You lose Kyle Korver.
Well, that real quick before you go, were they dirty plays? Is he dirty? I don't think he is. But you heard.
I don't know if I wouldn't call him a dirty player, but they were definitely unnecessary, and you could have avoided it. He chose not to avoid it, and that's a dangerous play. I mean, I've been watching basketball a long time. You see a lot of diving around. You don't see a guy roll up on someone's knee like that.
I believe it was Kenny Smith said, once is an accident, twice is a concern, three times is a trend.
Right. And they threw out Horford.
Yeah.
Which, again, in that game, game
which
three.
Was ridiculous. Which that was ridiculous. But they almost won. They almost won.
But so this is my point. If they have Horford, they win that game. If Kyle Korver doesn't, you know, I think game two they lost pretty substantially.
Yeah, they lost game two and game four substantially. One wasn't even really that close. The scoreboard and how the game went are two very different things in game one.
Yeah, game one, the Hawks really competed. And with about, you know, 6-7 minutes left, they were right there in the game. And then they had a little bad stretch that Cleveland was able to take advantage. But game three was the game that they had. And if they didn't throw out Horford, they would have won that game.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Now, the Atlanta Hawks, next two
and then wait, and then wait, J.R. Smith punches somebody.
Yeah.
And they don't throw him out.
No, they do not.
How do you not throw him out, though, when you already threw the ticky-tack? You got to throw him out.
Dude.
And Howard should have got thrown out the other game, too.
Yeah, he should have.
I mean, they're just not consistent.
No, they're not. That's what the problem is when you have different crew chiefs.
Yeah, and I really think Kyle Korver is a big loss for them. Bigger than you. You know what I mean? He's not that great a player, but how he opens and stretches the floor because you just can't leave his hip.
Absolutely. Now, the Hawks, though, have some contract problems coming up in the coming years.
Is Millsap a free agent?
Restricted, I believe.
I'm telling you, if I was the Sixers, that's the guy I target.
Paul Millsap?
Yeah, because I know he's, you know, a four, per se. But this is a guy who's a swing man. He could play the three. He could play the two. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could get him on the floor a lot of ways. And then this is a guy who can rebound. He can be real long and big and defensive. He was covering LeBron. You know, I mean, LeBron still did him a little bit, but, like, you know what I mean? He was staying in his face and staying with him. So he's that kind of athlete. And as far as a three-point shooter, the shooter we really need, I would love a guy like Millsap, a young player like him. But who else is on the market for them?
Pretty much all have expiring contracts. They have Teague coming up. They have
but they'll get Teague. Teague's been there for a while.
Yeah, Korver's coming up.
But Korver once again, I don't think another team will get
Carroll.
Carroll, but he's going to get the deal. Like those guys are going to get the deal.
The thing is, they're all coming up at the same time.
Right, but they're not paying anyone else. They're paying Al Horford, probably. He's the only guy they're really paying.
But what about Millsap?
They're not going to be. That's the point. He's the one who's the biggest.
Somebody's going to
overpay for him. I'm saying the other guys you mentioned, Teague, they can get. You know what I mean? People aren't going to overpay too much for them. They'll be able to be in that market. Kyle Korver, they'll be in that market. Carroll, they're ready to pay him. They'll be in his market. You know what I mean? But Millsap might be the guy, if he gets a big offer sheet from somebody, they might not be willing to sign it.
Yeah.
Even though, I'm sorry, I think he's the best player on their team.
I mean, I like Al Horford more, to be honest.
Yeah, but for me, a four that can shoot the three and rebound still and be one of your biggest scorers.
I like a big man, though. I like a big man.
Oh, don't get me wrong. They work together, but without one, there is no. The other doesn't have. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand.
That's like when we have Noel, the Embiid will be the perfect antithesis to him, because Embiid will be the guy you give the ball, put him in the post, and then if you double, Noel's going to be right there to be athletic and dunk the ball home like Dwight Howard does. I mean, you've seen guys who don't have offensive skills who are freakish athletes. When they get open down the floor, everybody can jump up and dunk the ball. I mean, as a white male under 6'4", the idea of dunking is exciting. But as far as the NBA players are concerned, they're not too worried about alley-oops. It's exciting for us to watch, but it's a pretty...
it's an everyday occurrence.
It's an everyday occurrence to them. So I'm sure Noel can do that. Now if you add a guy like Millsap into the mix, who can shoot, who can also rebound, you're long defensively, it really builds a good team. And you saw him. He fought really hard in that game three. So you really saw that fight from him, which is what I wanted to see.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these NBA finals will be a grudge match. It'll be great. I hope it goes 7.
It's going to be a grind. It's going to go at least 6.
I agree. I think at least 6.
I'm not ready to do it yet. I'm not ready to give my prediction. I'll wait till Thursday because we'll be on before tip-off.
We'll be on during tip-off, I believe.
During tip-off, but we'll give our projections then.
On Thursday, absolutely. Now, before we switch gears completely to the Eagles, I want to discuss our upcoming contest for our fantasy football league. I want to finally release the rules and everything to the people out there. We are having our usual fantasy football league. It will be 10 teams. Me and Mike will co-own one of them, so we are looking for 9. The first 9 people to sign up online, get it? You know, you can go to our website, fill out the form to sign up for it, wizardradio.com. And the draft is August 15th. It will be either at Buffalo Wild Wings or at Miller's Ale House unsure which place yet, but it'll be one of the two of those. Come out, you know. We're going to have a killer grand prize for the it's winner takes all. I don't care if you make it to the championship and lose, you get nothing. Winner takes all.
Winner takes all. And bragging rights.
And bragging rights. There will be a trophy and a great grand prize. But I'm going to tell everyone out there listening, you need to bring your A game. Otherwise, me and Mike will walk away with this very, very handily.
Oh, yeah. And I would love one of our fans to get this and win, but I will show you no mercy on the fans of Gridiron.
No, and you will definitely I know it's almost done. Yeah, I understand.
Right.
Yeah, we're good. I lost what I was saying. Oh, I mean, we are eligible to win the prize.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I will take the prize. I will take the trophy, and I will dance around with it in front of you when we win.
Yeah. But, you know, the other team gets in the championship first off, if that's how it happens. Maybe if I'm feeling nice, we get some Eagles tickets for next year.
Well,
we'll have to see.
No. That's on you because I don't like giving consolation prizes to losers.
I like friends coming to the Eagle game with me, getting rowdy, maybe throwing some tailgate parties,
getting rowdy in the 100 level section.
Say word.
Now, Chip spoke today. He spoke at the press conference. Did you catch it?
I caught most of it.
You caught most of it. Now, I like. What was I doing? I was walking the dog. And, because, like, the thing is, I've learned if I walk him, like, I used to only walk him, like, once or twice a day. Now I walk him, like, 7 times a day. So that, like, he's just relaxed all the time. Because, like, for anybody out there that doesn't know, I have a 1-year-old pit bull who just doesn't leave anything alone.
He's an awesome dog. Not a mean bone in his body, but just doesn't know to sit down. But then again, you know. 1-year-old puppy dog years, he's about a 7-year-old.
Yeah, I mean.
So you look around with any 7-year-old's behavior.
Basically
what this dog is.
Yeah, like you said, he's not mean or there's nothing bad about the dog, but like I prefer to relax and watch TV, you know, at like, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night and unwind. He likes to run from every corner of the house, inside and outside. At all times. Which leads me back to what I told you. Oh, man. For everyone that doesn't know what just happened, Mike turned around to read something, and when he spun back around, the mic hit him in the face.
Kapow.
Oh, that was great. I wish there was a video feed in here so that we could post that. That was one of the funnier things I've seen today. But I was pissed off yesterday, though, because now, what's the purpose of a park?
To walk a dog.
Do you know, now, I am not speaking exclusively to these people that I'm about to address, but I'm speaking specifically to them, but not exclusively. The people in Abington Township, Upper Moreland Township, Lower Moreland Township, Horsham Township, Warminster Township, let's see, Hatboro, Upper Dublin Township, Springfield Township, Cheltenham Township, Doylestown, you know, everything in Montgomery County, Bucks County area pretty much. Why the fuck do you guys have parks that you don't let dogs in? You know,
trails. Everybody's scared of a dog.
Like, the thing is yesterday, here's what I did. I drove all the way up to like these like, hiking trail things, like a half hour, 40 minutes away from my house. I get there. I'm like, all right, we're in the middle of the woods. This is going to be great. There's a sign at the fucking parking lot that says no dogs. I was so pissed off. I was going to do it anyway, but there's a lot of people there, and I know that there would be some rich old soccer mom there that would be like, call the park ranger. I'd probably get fished at because I have a pit bull and I have to leave anyway. So I was so pissed off. I drove into Willow Grove Mall. We walked around the parking lot for 45 minutes because he couldn't tell that. He was in the car for an hour. He said, I don't know where we're at.
He doesn't know.
No. So I'm signing a petition and everybody to be involved with that. Let more dogs in the park so I don't have to go so far.
Yes.
Yes.
Agreed.
The thing is, like, this has been pissing me off for like 3 months. But like,
yes,
the thing is, it boiled over yesterday because like I spent like
are there like a bunch of dogs just biting people?
I guess
I mean,
have
I've
to
never
be,
heard it. I've never heard like someone be like, "Oh, I got rabies."
I went down to Boathouse Row on Kelly Drive. Everybody knows the park's there.
Yeah.
I got yelled at for taking the dog there by some old woman on a bicycle.
I know. Yeah, I remember that. That's just hilarious. To stop and get off of your bike just to tell you.
Yeah, she stopped on her, like, and she, it wasn't like she was, like, just a somebody. She was in, like, biking clothes. Like, she did this as, a, like, an exercise. Stop and complain to me.
I mean, I don't know why everybody's worried about me.
Yeah, be worried about yourself.
Always just worry about yourself. That's the best way to be.
Oh, man. All right, let's just dive into it. Hey, Ben, can you play the press conference for us?
From Chip Kelly.
Who you guys limited right now? Sam, Earl Wolf, and Marcus Smith. Yeah, he's been cleared by Dr. Andrews. It's just when can he get back into full go? So he'll be working on the side with our.
And we will be playing the whole press conference here. We have the whole thing ready to go.
Or something. I'll have to join our history, but he hasn't been participating the last couple of days. So.
What's your comfort level at in the secondary, other than Malcolm and Byron Maxwell? You have a lot of guys. How do you feel about that whole
group? We do. I think we like the group overall. We've added some depth to that position. And there's a lot of guys out there competing real hard, but it's still very early. But we're excited. I think our depth is better than it's ever been in the 3 years. Now we just got to figure out who exactly those guys are that will complement, you know, really the two guys that are starters are Malcolm and Byron right now. But the other guys are really competing. And I think the competition level at the whole group has kind of stepped up just because of there's a lot more there. There's a lot more talent at that position right now.
Timetable for Sam Bradford's return. Is he on schedule in his rehab?
Yeah, he is on schedule. We all think there's three phases. There's medical rehab, there's performance rehab, and then there's prepare to play. It's probably right at the tail end of medical rehab. He'll probably start throwing some 7-on-7 next week, but I think he's right on schedule in terms of where he is.
When do you expect him to be back? And is it safe to say training camp?
Nothing's safe to say. Ever.
You expect him back by mini camp, training camp?
I don't know. He's going to start throwing 7-on-7 next week. That's the next step for us.
Do you think it would be more Sanchez to be your starting quarterback right now?
If we fight a game today, I think it would be illegal in the NFL if we did play a game today. But if we did, it would be either Mark or Matt or Tim.
In the spring and summer, is it going to be a competition at the quarterback side or Sam?
Yeah. Everybody's in competition.
Really
the best
does.
Players play.
But 2 years ago, you split those reps between Nick and Mike. Last year, Nick
No, Mark that reps were the ones last year.
But it was established from you that Nick started.
Yeah, because Nick came off of last year, so we don't have anybody coming off of last year. So.
Don't bring Doug Gustin.
This is a national.
What's all you about bringing Tebow in here? You really have a chance to look at
him. You got a chance you guys will see him today. Watch him throw. I think he's improved. He spent a lot of time in the last few years in terms of working on his game. Wanted to have a fourth quarterback here. You know, you're not going to go through with three. Looked at the prospects that we saw in the draft. Didn't think there was a guy where we were going to be looking at a quarterback that was a draftable guy. Didn't think it was a great priority free agent class in terms of quarterback. So we're looking for a guy. There was a few guys we looked at that were not with teams that were out on the street. And Tim was a guy that we thought could come in here. So we want to have four quarterbacks. Definitely want to have four quarterbacks for camp. And GJ's moved out to wide out. So giving him an opportunity out there. We're not. I mean, we're on May 28th, so we're just trying to get everybody up to speed and teaching Kiko the defense. You know, Michael and D'Amico have both done an outstanding job when they've been here. So we thought it was a priority for us, especially because of the injuries we had at inside linebacker, to improve our depth there. So, you know, in drafting Jordan, to go back, Najee, who missed the entire year last year, throw him in there with Acho, and then we took got Brad Jones in the offseason was a priority for us. So the fact that we've got some guys that can play is a positive for us.
You made a ton of changes this offseason. Do you think this team right now is better than they were at this point last year?
1,000%. And I'm excited. We could play a game today.
But you know your roster right now. Do you think this team looks better in your mind? Are you more comfortable with this roster right now?
That's the great thing of what we're in the process of doing now. It's about evaluating guys and getting everybody out there and finding out who's going to show up. There's going to be someone that's going to surprise everybody, just like every year there's an undrafted free agent that makes the team, and then you all look at each other and go, how come we didn't draft that guy? And sometimes there's a draft pick that doesn't pan out, and you're going, how come we drafted that guy? So it's an ongoing process, but we're excited about the guys who are here. I think they've worked extremely hard in the 5 weeks leading up to this, and the last 2 days we've been on the field, they've been outstanding, so we'll continue to grow from that.
What about the new 2-point proposal as opposed to all the other proposals like yours? The new one, I
don't think anything's new.
That was
that's the way we look at it. The ball's on the extra point. So the ball went back. We were 43 or 45 in the last 2 years from that distance, so 96%. So I don't know what changes, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know. And the defense can score, but that we're still going to kick an extra point. I mean, nothing's. I don't understand the proposal. If they want you to go for two more, the ball has always been on the 2 yard line. That's always been an option for everybody for a while. And the only time we've done it, we did it against Detroit 2 years ago because of the weather, and no one went for it. And then we did it once against Minnesota. I think we were down 5 with 15 seconds to go in the third quarter and went for it just because the numbers dictated it. And then we did it another time in the Minnesota game. We were down 13 with 4:26 on the clock. So the numbers will dictate, I think, when you're going for two. But they didn't entice you to go for two more. I don't
think
it's my
opinion.
How has Mark Sanchez looked different this offseason as opposed to last year? A year, and last year you spoke about him coming off the
He's just a whole year advanced. You know, I think he was still in he's probably in the tail end of medical rehab, just like I said, and probably in the performance rehab part when we got him last year at this point in time. Now he's full go. So I think you can see it and how he's performing out there now. He's also not learning an offense again. You know, a lot of times you're not only are you trying to figure out how you're throwing the ball again because you're coming off a year-long layoff in terms of throwing the football, but he's really comfortable in terms of the scheme. So.
The corners who can play, which ones are playing?
Walter Thomas.
So what was your reaction to Shady's comments a couple of weeks ago, alleging that you favored white players over white? Any reaction to that at all?
Yeah, I've got great respect for LeSean. However, in that situation, I think he's wrong. You know, we put a lot of time in looking at the characters and factors that go into selection and retention of players, and color's never been one of them. So.
Were you hurt by it?
No.
Is this something you have to address in the locker room?
No, I haven't. I reached out to him twice, and he didn't accept my call. And then I talked to his agent and told him I'd love to talk to him at some point in time, but I haven't had a chance to touch base with him.
You said that he has to understand that people have sent words to him first. Three people have said this to you, Grace, in your decisions against you.
It doesn't hurt me. I'm not governed by the fear of what other people say. Events don't elicit feelings. I think beliefs elicit feelings. And I understand what my beliefs are, and I know how I am.
Sometimes perception.
You start chasing perception, and you got a long life ahead of you, son. But that's what it's all about. If you're worried about someone's perception of what's going on with you, then you can control one thing, you can control yourself, and I know how we run this organization. Let's not run that way.
You do have to worry about perception in the locker room.
Talk to the players. That's a great question to talk to the players about.
You have to make sure that they're saying things in a certain way, right? I mean, you have to be careful if there is perception in the locker room. So
I don't see that here. I don't see that here.
I have not talked to Evan.
Who's
been working
on the season program started? Alan Barkley has a lot of different guys. Kamiko's better.
I know you said Marcus Smith is injured now, but what have you seen from him in terms of preparing?
We haven't seen him much because the first 2 weeks we weren't even with him. So, and then the other stuff we're just running around on air. So we kicked the air's tail, you know, for 3 weeks. So there's really not much you can see until you get out here. When we got out here for OTA, he hasn't been participating, so he's been over with the strength and conditioning.
How much is the difference between Josh Elton? Last year now.
I think he's just more mature in terms of more comfortable. I shouldn't say mature. I think he's a mature young man to begin with, but I think he's just more comfortable in terms of everything going on around him. You know, you see him helping out Nelson and some of the undrafted guys we brought in here. I think he's done a really good job in that sense, but I just think, you know, he's carrying himself in a different manner now just because I think he's a year old.
Does it set Sam back to be involved in the offense at this point?
No, not the way Sam approaches things. I don't think it sets him back. It's just, I mean, everybody's got to deal with whatever they're dealt, and we got full confidence that he will be back, though.
What do you mean he's able to do right now?
He's showing in drills. We just think the next progression is 7-on-7, so he's throwing to the receivers and, you know, really working the first half of training. So.
Do you think he'll
You mentioned that Aguilar, more like an inside-outside guy. Do you feel like you have more flexibility with your receiver group? With, you know, Matthews probably can do both. Huff maybe. And do you feel like you have a group that can? It doesn't matter where they're lining up, slot, outside, that they all can.
Yeah, we have some guys that have flexibility, but we've had that before, so it's not more than less.
Jake, how much do you feel like this could be a gamble? You know, bringing in Sam Bradford, a guy that's coming off back-to-back ACL tears, or are you 100% confident that he's going to be able to be?
I'm not 100% confident in anything. No one is. I mean, can you predict the future? If so, we'll go to Belmont. I mean, I'll be excited about that, but I mean, we're going to put together a team, and we think Sam's got a great skill set. The research our doctors have given us in terms of guys coming off of those injuries, in terms of their recovery rate is 90%, so we feel real confident in him. He's just playing outside right now.
What in Thurman's skill set makes you like him at safety?
He's always around the ball. I think he's had a lot of experience playing nickel, so he's been an inside guy. He can see things. He's very intelligent. He's an intuitive football player, so he's the first guy out of that corner mix that's getting a shot inside. So.
Where's Kiko?
Two more questions.
Where's Kiko?
We'll go.
With Tebow, do you see him as a guy who is just a quarterback? Or
he's
with
a quarterback.
His skill set?
No, he's a quarterback. That's what we're looking at, Timmy. We're not playing him in any other position.
Chip Lidowska, quarterback, said that DeMarco left a lot of yards out on the field last year. Do you agree with that?
I think he said he left a lot of meat on the ball. So maybe that means he's not a big eater. Thanks, guys.
Chip. You gotta love it.
Oh man! Real quick, I want to. The last thing he said. You heard about what Vandal said about DeMarco Murray, right?
Yeah. No, I didn't hear exactly.
Oh, he said that DeMarco Murray was good last year, but he left a lot of meat on the bones on some of his runs. You know, meaning he could have had more yards.
Yeah.
DeMarco Murray today said, "Well, maybe Vandal will find a way to actually try to taste the meat."
Oh,
Randall's a nobody.
Can't hate on him. How are you going to say he left yards on the bone?
He was the league leading rusher.
Like, I mean, if that's the case, then good for him.
Everybody I saw today that was posting about being at the training camp said that DeMarco Murray is huge. The exact line was he looks like a linebacker with speed.
I mean, he really is a beast. And I'll tell you right now, Chip Kelly really has exactly a hold on what's going on. And what I've been reading more and more of it, Chip Kelly has been talking to people around the NFL over and over again about how do I do this and that. And he's done the research to be in the position that he's in. And I'll tell you right now, I have a full confidence in him. And I'll tell you, it's going to be hard to get that corner spot away from Nolan Carroll, if your head coach is going to mention you this early in the year as a guy who separated himself, that's a big vote of endearment when you have 10 cornerbacks on your roster.
Well, right now, from what I have read, the starting first-team defense, you know, this is just from, you know, what's this, day 3 of OTAs?
Right, so no, it really doesn't matter.
No,
but we'll still hit it to you fresh.
Safety position, Maragos Jenkins.
Maragos
is the starting right now.
You know, I'll tell you, that's a really good addition. I looked at those two guys, Maragos and the other Prosnowski, the special team aces. And I'll tell you, Maragos in specific had a really good combine. And, you know, you've seen before, and I brought up Quentin Michael before as a guy who was a special teams ace who ended up playing, you know, a 10-year career. And 5 or 6 years at safety. So you never know. Maybe this is his time. You know, he has the speed. He has the size. He's been studying the position for 4 or 5 years. There's finally a place for him to play. So, and you know, talking about this safety spot, I still have a bet that no one's taken me up on. And remember, free Eagles ticket to anyone who names the starting safety opposite Malcolm Jenkins. Now, my bet for that is Earl Wolf.
Now, well, hold on. Let me give you the right now. I'm taking Rowe.
Yeah, and that's really. I mean, it's hard. It's going to be hard to keep that rookie from starting. I think he's a really good player, and he's a guy they obviously like. And with the way Nolan Carroll has been supposedly looking. And a thing about Nolan Cowell I'll add is that last year, this is a guy who played dime linebacker. He was in the linebacker room. He's been in the safety room. And he's been in the cornerback room, and he's played special teams too. So he's been all over the field for them. And now they're going to give him a chance to win the job. So that really takes away, I think the slot job is really tough. And that's not really where they want to go. So you're going to see the guy, the cornerback safety mold, move to safety alongside Malcolm Jenkins. It seems like the perfect fit. It seems like Malcolm Jenkins, seems like you're almost drafting another Malcolm Jenkins.
Yeah, and starting linebacker today, inside, Kiko and Kendricks.
Dangerous pair.
Outside, Barwin and Graham.
And I'll tell you, that'll be the guy I'm watching this offseason as far as from the linebacker corp. I want to see Brandon Graham in this offseason take another step and be the every down player and the run stuffer that he needs to be. I've seen him pass rush now. I'm confident in his ability on third down. I've seen enough of that. I got to see him first to third down. And hey, he's got to earn that. And who knows, maybe now he can finally earn that first round pick.
Also, on Dylan News, the apparent guy who's first up at the Todd Herman's job seems to be Matt Tobin, taking first team reps at right guard today.
And that's a little shaded, too, because Alan Barbee's playing left guard, as Chip Kelly said.
Yeah, but he...
I foresee Evan Mathis here for training camp.
Yeah, oh, he'll have to be, unless he wants to, you know...
Hold out. I don't think he'll hold out.
A player that's that old usually doesn't hold out.
No, he's pissed. He knows he'll still get another deal after this year.
Yeah.
As a free agent.
Now, on offense, I saw Jordan Matthews taking punt returns.
That's a nice mix. They can do a lot of different things. I just guess they wanted to give them a try. They're probably going to do a lot of different guys at that position.
Well, another thing that Chip Kelly's doing now is making the punt returners field the punt with one hand while holding a football in the other.
Oh, man.
And they each have to catch one with each hand alternating. You got to hold the football on the left, catch it with the right, throw that one aside, switch the football to the right hand, catch one to the left.
You know what he's trying to weed out? I want to make a guess. I don't know if this is going to be true or not, but there's always the punts where, you know, guys want to return it, and there's the punts where you just want a guy to catch it and fair catch. And he's going to try to weed out the guy with the best hand, and that's going to be the guy you send in when they're punting from the 45. He can go catch it on the 10-yard line and knock them the ball over. There's a fumble. I'll tell you right now, the most devastating play in football to me is a fumble on a punt. You lose a fumble off a punt. That momentum change, when your defense is walking off the field, your offense is about to come on, and now your defense just sat down, just tried to get a drink of water. Now they got to run back on the field in a terrible field position. I mean, a score on that situation almost always leads, to a score, and on top of that, almost probably always leads to a win because it's just going to tire the rest of the team out.
Yes. Now, I have a couple news clips from some of the people that cover the Eagles. You know, you heard Jimmy Kempsky on this very show before.
Right.
And he has
the
an article. The great Jimmy Kempsky. He has an article out in Philly Voice that if the Eagles do not make the playoffs this season, there's a very, very, very realistic chance that they are the team on Hard Knocks next year.
That they'll have to do Hard Knocks?
They could have to. There's three.
What if you make the playoffs?
Three rules in place. If you have a first-year head coach, you don't have to go on it.
Right.
If you've been on the show within the last 10 seasons, you don't have to go on it.
Right.
And if you've made the playoffs one of the last 2 years, you don't have to do it.
Oh, see, they're making this is a mandatory NFL thing.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, what the NFL does is, who wants to volunteer?
And then nobody volunteers.
And that's the criteria they go to pick out the team. Right now, the Houston Texans are going to be on it this season.
They were made to do it.
they were made. So the two finalists were the Houston Texans and the Washington Redskins.
Right. And the Redskins asked not to be. Because some shit would argue free.
They both asked not to be. But, I mean, the NFL was like, okay.
They had a better Washington had a better excuse with the RG3 thing. RG3's
tell me that HBO wouldn't be infatuated with Chip Kelly if they could get him behind the scenes.
Chip would never allow that. He'd leave the NFL.
I mean, that's what he would have to do. Well, if the NFL steps in and mandates it, then...
That'd be too bad. That'd be really bad for Chip.
Like,
I'd love it. That'd be awesome.
I was like, everybody in the world would love to see it, and he would
hate it.
I'd
have to watch it. I would not even
watch I would subscribe to HBO just to watch that show.
I watched, remember they did the one with the Flyers?
Yeah, I watched that.
That was
great.
Awesome.
That was great. 24/7?
I think I even saw some cocaine.
Did you?
No.
Oh. I was going to say, I watched it.
We still have Richard being part of that, remember?
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Fact.
All right,
let's do the party down in the sea aisle.
You have,
well, there's a couple other things I'm going to get to real quick about the things regarding Chip. And the Eagles as a whole. Another thing, Elliot Shore-Park, which you have also heard on this
very show,
said that in order of arm strength as the quarterback, Bradford by far has the biggest gun, followed by a surprising Tim Tebow, followed by Matt Barkley, followed by Mark Sanchez. Matt Barkley has surpassed Mark Sanchez as an arm strength.
Ooh. You know, this is really the year you wonder with Matt Barkley is going to show you.
And a couple other things. DJ Kinney is lined up at wide receiver all day today.
Yeah, I read that, actually, that he's going to try out at wide receiver this year. And not just wide receiver. He wants to be a special team kind of jack-of-all-trades player.
A Joe Webb-like player from the Minnesota Vikings who happened to come in that one random Tuesday night game and pummel the Eagles in Philadelphia.
And, you know, it's never bad to have another guy who can be a quarterback on your roster. I think for any other team, I probably would say he has no chance, but this is an Oregon guy. This is a guy who Chip thought enough of to keep on the practice squad for 2 years.
Yeah.
So if he shows enough value... the Eagles love special teams and they love versatility. So if he can show that, I've been telling Justin there is another spot on that tight end running back space.
Yeah,
and you know he might just be able to fill it.
Yeah, and one last thing that I just want to throw as far as headlines before I let you do your thing on the Eagles, Nelson Aguilar. So apparently. He is the first one in the building, usually before the coaches. Jordan Matthews said in an interview the other day that what each NFL team does is they send a shuttle to come get the rookie from where they're staying to bring the practice facility. You know, these guys might be from the other side of the country, as is Nelson Aguilar. I bet you he has never been to Philadelphia before.
Right. So they definitely hook him up.
Yeah. So you know, we're not just going to throw you out there with in a city you don't know. Aguilar is at the facility before the shuttle goes to pick up the other players. He has a cab service that just sends a cab to his place at 5 o'clock every morning, just like clockwork.
He's ready to work.
He's ready to roll.
Are we going to have...
Jordan Matthews said that he is usually one of the first... Jordan Matthews himself is usually one of the first ones in the building, and he said that by the time he gets in, Aguilar's already done his workout.
Oh my God! I'll tell you right now, those two are going to push each other,
and Josh Huff included.
Josh Huff's in there. You know he's a workaholic. If Chip Kelly brought him in here with a third round pick, and you know the three wide receivers we drafted over the last 2 years, you know they all have to hit for Chip to really be successful. But man, I'll tell you, these guys are going to push each other, and this offense with the skill players we have in the running back, wide receiver, tight end market is really, I mean, who cares who the quarterback? As long as the quarterback doesn't turn the football over, this team's going to score all by itself. You don't need a quarterback to throw 50 touchdowns with this team. You don't need a guy who needs to make all the throws. You need a guy to hit the open receivers and hand the ball off.
And that person is not Tim Tebow. I'll give you the Tim Tebow scouting report. You ready for it?
Let's hear it.
Improved arm motion, yes. Fixed arm motion, no. Slower than before in his arm motion, yes. More powerful arm, yes. He's pretty much, for the parts that he's lacked, he's made up. But the things he's good at has decreased. It's like he's only been, it's like building a Madden player. You have a certain amount of attributes you can spread out amongst all the categories.
Right.
Well, he took attributes from his good categories and put it in his bad category. He got a lot stronger, but his arm motion got slower.
Listen, the thing about Tim Tebow, the reason he's really here is
hopefully he makes... Real quick thing, another thing that Jimmy Kemsky said about Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
And the amount of time that he takes a snap and throws the ball, he can go make a sandwich.
Oh, that's not good.
Not good at all.
That's like the problem.
And he can't throw the ball. I read that 86% of Tebow's throws today were checkdowns.
He doesn't want to throw a pick. He didn't want to look bad.
He doesn't want to throw the ball deep. Because the thing is, he needs a Deshaun Jackson-like player.
Right.
I'm going to throw it this way, and you just go track the ball.
Yeah.
Jordan Matthews and Aguilar aren't the kind of players. You put it on them, they'll get it, and they'll get the yards after the catch, after they see the field and analyze it.
See, Tebow's here to be a guy who maybe if the second Bradford, say, let's say Bradford doesn't make it to week one, worst case scenario. Mark Sanchez most likely.
Let's knock on this wood.
Let's knock on this wood. I hope that doesn't happen. But I'm just saying, worst case scenario, Mark Sanchez probably is not going to play 16 games. So you're going to need a guy who can come in and game and win two or three games.
Well, it comes down to...
Give me Tim Tebow rather than any other third-string quarterback
on
any team in the NFL.
It comes down to, will Tebow beat out Matt Barkley?
I think so.
I don't know.
If Matt Barkley, like you said, if he's shown improved arm strength...
They said that Matt Barkley is not looking like a starter, but he's definitely shown improvement from last year.
That's what he needed to do. And
he showed definite improvement.
Tebow's really here more than anything else to push Matt Barkley.
Yeah. They said that Matt Barkley has improved in every aspect. Not great, but he's shown definite improvement across all aspects of his game.
And, you know,
that's
it,
all you can really, that's
really,
all you really wish
but
for.
But really, you see what Chip does, and everybody's quick to criticize, but what he's really done is add as many talented quarterbacks as he can. He's done what he's done with every other position. He looks at everything out there, looks at what everybody has, and he says, give me the best guys available that fit what I want to do. So now, really, what does he have? He has three quarterbacks who were drafted in the first round, and a quarterback in Matt Barkley who should have been drafted in the first round. Well, maybe not should have been, but other than his shoulder injury, he was definitely supposed to be drafted in the first round. So, you know, we're rounding out towards the end of this show, and I'll tell you, this Philadelphia season is heating up with the Eagles. And I'll be damned if I'm not talking a little Eagles next Thursday here with Wizwit Radio.
Catch us next Thursday right here. As always, WizwitRadio.com is where you can hear us live. We record out here at the Red Sound Studios out in Warrington, PA, doing everything Eagles, Flyers, Sixers, Phillies. Don't forget to check out our website for the fantasy football tournament we got coming up.
Definitely, man. You're definitely going to want to get in with that prize.
Definitely. Check us out on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Listen to us on the MixLR app. Listen to us live there from your smartphone, or you can listen to us live on our website.
And hit us up about that contest, man. Who's your star safety? Don't you want to go to the Eagles game?
Oh, get it in with the Eagles and Mike on that. Make him take you. Make him take you to the Dolphins game.
I'm buying the beer.
Make him take you to the Dolphins game. Everybody, thanks for listening in. As always, I'm your host, Justin Emery. Here with my co-host, Mike Irano.
Take it easy. I'll be going to get a cheesesteak after this. Peace. Wiz, you know it.